You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from Athens Universal Life Church.
Oh, Welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White. We are here the week after Easter. We're continuing on this week from where we started last week. And so we're going to use some of the scripture text from last week and just kind of move on a little bit through that. Before we get started, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us today. Your scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be in our midst. Even though we're separated by distance, we're over the internet, we're doing this virtually, we just ask that you be with each one of us as we come together while being far apart. Just be with us, Lord, and that we pray that this coronavirus won't last much longer and that we can get back to our lives again, that you'll be able to help us, keep us safe, and get us through this storm that we're having. We just ask that you be with us today and just help us to maybe find a meaning in something that in your words today, maybe we've heard before and didn't quite get it, and maybe we've heard it for the first time. So just be with us. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to what you've got to tell us today, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We thank you for that. We ask that you continue to be with us each and every day. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. In the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But one of the 12, Thomas, also called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, this gospel is richly woven tapestry. It derives its richness from interrelated threads. For example, in the prologue of the Gospel of John, John declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made." We see that in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now, Thomas addresses Jesus here, "My Lord and my God," reaffirming Jesus' deity in verse 28 of our scripture text today. Many scholars believe that chapter 21, the next chapter to come here, was added later. Now, if that's true, then this gospel is framed by these beginning and ending statements about the deity of Jesus. And chapter 14, verse 18 of Jesus promises the disciples, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Now he returns after his resurrection to those who feel orphaned by the crucifixion. In the same discourse, he says in chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful." Now, coming into the presence of the disciples in verse 19 of our text today, his first words to them are, "Peace be to you." This repeats him giving a peace a week later when he meets with the disciples and with doubting Thomas again. Now, in his prayer shortly before his death in chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may also glorify you." Now, Jesus at this time has been glorified on the cross and appears as the risen Savior to the disciples. Now, earlier, John said in chapter 7, verse 39, "For the Holy Spirit has not yet given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified." Now that Jesus has been glorified, he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in verse 22 of our text today. Now, there are surely other examples, but these serve to illustrate how this week's gospel lesson relates to the themes expressed throughout this gospel. In our gospel lesson today, it's Easter evening. Jesus had risen from the tomb that morning. One of his disciples had seen the empty tomb. John tells us that he believed. Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Christ and had recognized him when he called out her name. At Jesus' command, she went to find the rest of the disciples so that she could tell them what had happened. But now John tells us that evening, that Easter evening, that the disciples went into hiding. They locked themselves into a room for fear of the Jews, as the scriptures tell us. They had seen the fury of the Jewish leaders directed at Jesus and assumed they just might be next. Now the disciples assumed, and I'm sure rightly they assumed, that the Jewish leaders would be happy to root out the last remnants of this Jesus heresy. The disciples could only imagine themselves being hunted down like animals. If the Jewish leaders could kill Jesus, well, nobody was safe. So these disciples went into hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And I can imagine them hiding behind that locked door, quiet as a mouse, listening for every footstep, fearing for any knock at the door, and imagining the worst. Now, of course, the beloved disciple, who I'm sure was among them, had seen the empty tomb and had believed, but were not exactly sure what he believed. Mary had come to them with her tall tale about seeing Jesus alive, but that didn't make much sense. The disciples weren't sure what to believe, but it's also clear that they did not believe Mary. They didn't know what to do either, but they figured it's better to be safe than sorry, so they go into hiding. They were afraid. Now, if I'd been there, I'd been afraid too. A crucifixion is a terrible thing. To see a body bloodied and battered like that, it was especially terrible to see Jesus treated in that way. They could hardly believe it because they believed in Jesus. They had loved Jesus. They had left everything to follow him, and they could hardly believe that it ended so terribly. They went into hiding for fear of the Jews, and I can't really say that I blame them. We all go into hiding at some point because we fear something. There are times when we just want to pull the covers over our heads so we don't have to deal with it. We could rightly say that we live in frightening times right now, today, so it's no wonder that we're frightened. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, and it sounds like something out of the morning's news. James Woolsey, the former director of the CIA, said that we are now engaged in World War IV. You heard me right, World War IV. He thinks of the Cold War between the U.S. and Soviet Union as World War III, a war that lasted half a century. World War IV, he says, started at the World Trade Center buildings. Woolsey wouldn't guess how long World War IV might last, but thought it might be with us for a good many years. I'm sure he's right. But of course, it doesn't take something as dramatic as World War IV to frighten us, to make us want to go inside and lock the doors. There are smaller, more personal things that frighten us as well, like, well, a lump where a lump shouldn't be, blood where there should be no blood, a dark spot on the x-ray. When a loved one is sick, I mean really sick, the thought of illness crowds out everything else. But we can find ourselves afraid even when there are no life and death issues at stake. You remember what it feels like to walk into an exam unprepared, or to walk out of that exam feeling like you don't have a clue. And times like that, it seems like the rest of our lives are at stake here. Or for parents, it's midnight. Your son and daughter hasn't come home yet from being out or being on a date. Or there's not enough month at the end of the money. Or your old car starts making new noises. Or we notice a damp spot on the ceiling and realize, wow, the roof is now over 20 years old. Or we're afraid to leave our homes because we just might catch the coronavirus. Or we fear losing our job. How would you like to be 50 years old, have two kids in college, and lose your job? It happens to people all the time. They have a good job, they're making good money, they're feeling pretty good about life. Then a company comes in, it gets bought out, and the new management finds someone younger who will work for less money. They don't even ask you if you want to make less money. You're just told, clean out your desk. Life isn't perfect for now, but life isn't over either. Let me say that one more time. Life isn't perfect for now, but life isn't over either. We'll get through these storms in our lives, and we need to hear that. Sometimes we think of our lives as so fragile that we can never survive a failing grade or the loss of a job or a serious illness or the death of a loved one or any one of a thousand other disasters. The truth, though, is God didn't make us so fragile. We don't have to shatter into a thousand pieces when things go wrong. We can make choices. When life knocks us down, we can choose to lie there, or we can choose to get up and start again. When we can choose to cower behind locked doors, or we can choose to walk out into the sunlight. Everything hangs on our choices. And when things go wrong, a great deal depends on what we think of God. When times are tough, it's good to know that we walk with God and God walks with us. On that first Easter evening, the disciples forgot all that. They saw Jesus crucified and assumed that was the end. They went into hiding and they locked the door for fear that they would be next. But they couldn't even imagine that God could bring back their dead hopes and bring them back to life. The two appearances of Jesus take place a week apart, the first being on Easter evening, the second being after 8 days, or as the Greek says, meth hameras octo, which is often translated as a week later. Jesus speaks to the disciples three times, and each time his words give power to the disciples who hear them. In verses 19 to 21 today, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. In verses 22 and 23, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they have been forgiven them. If you retain anyone's sins, they've been retained. And again in verse 27, reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. This gospel tells us that the disciples were gathered. But it doesn't tell us which disciples was there. In Luke's parallel telling of the story in Luke 24, it's the 11 and those who were with them. In this gospel, and given Thomas's absence, it's really 10, the 10 disciples and their companions. This gospel shows us that there are different kinds of faith, that faith comes in different ways with differing intensities to different people. The beloved disciple believes upon seeing the empty tomb. Mary believes when the Lord calls out her name, and the disciples must see the risen Lord here. Thomas says that he must touch Jesus' wounds, although that need seems to evaporate once he sees the risen Christ. People have differing needs, and we find various routes to faith. It's also instructive here to note that Thomas believed, he lost faith, and then returned to an even greater faith. Jesus appears in their midst. He walks through a locked door. He comes back to say, "Peace be to you." The disciples needed to hear that. Peace be to you. Their nerves were jangled. Their hopes were dashed. They were scared to death. And Jesus says, "Peace be to you." Jesus could bring them peace because he was still alive. They could see that. Their meeting with Jesus on that Easter evening transformed their lives. They would often face danger again, but would never again cower in a locked room, afraid for their lives. The disciples were never terrified again because they knew God was with them. God's with us too. We need to remember that. A woman named Marianne Ulig once sailed from the United States to Japan on a Danish freighter. There weren't many passengers aboard, so she got to know the ship's captain. And one night the captain said, "Do you know how I learned to trust? Let me tell you." He said that his wife and daughter, a little girl 8 or 9 years old at the time, had accompanied him on one of his trips. They ran into a big storm and he ordered all hands on deck. They checked the lifeboats and prepared to launch them if necessary. Then he sent word to his wife, "Get the daughter ready." The mother wakened up the daughter and says, "Get up quickly, there's a storm and the boat's in danger." The little girl looked at her mother and said, "Mommy, is Daddy at the wheel?" Her mother said, "Yes, he was at the wheel." The little girl said, "Then everything will be all right." She then turned over and fell back asleep again. When faced with darkness, with wars and rumors of wars, with medical tests that give us answers that we don't want to hear, with children who don't want to do what we want them to do, with the loss of a job, with this coronavirus everywhere, and with whatever might be troubling us, let us remember that our Father is at the wheel. That doesn't mean we won't face storms. Neither does it mean that our ship won't be taking a battering. But it does mean that we're in the hands of one who loves us and is committed to saving us. A German mystic by the name of John Taller wrote these words long ago. They're good words for the dark nights of our soul. Taller said, "Be sure of this. There is no creature ever made by God who can set you free or help you. Only God can do it." Jesus did that for the disciples, the ones hiding behind that locked door. He came through that locked door and set them free by saying, "Peace be to you." But Jesus didn't leave it at that. He gave them their marching orders, saying, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." When we're afraid, it's always good to have someone we trust tell us what to do. Jesus did that for the disciples. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Jesus was sending them to continue his work. Then he gave the disciples their source of strength. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He was telling them that the Spirit of God would be with them, within them, inside them, leading them, guiding them, and empowering them. So when you feel like going to bed and pulling the covers over your head, go ahead and do that. But while you're there, pray. Ask God to guide you. Ask him to drain your fear and to fill the empty space with his presence. Then go to sleep and give God a chance to answer your prayer. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words today. Things that we needed to hear. Maybe we've heard them before. Maybe we're hearing them for the first time. Maybe, just maybe, that we're hearing them again in a different light. We just thank you, Lord. We ask that you be with us through these difficult times with this coronavirus. You be with us. during these storms in our lives. And always know that you're going to be our anchor, Lord, that you're there with us, our anchor in these storms, and that you're going to get us through even though our ships are being battered, the sails are being torn. We just thank you, Lord, for that, just being there for us. We ask that you continue to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, and to put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching. Check in again next week. And always, you can always pick up these videos and other devotions and whatnot at our website at www.aulc.us, or find us on Facebook too. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you all next week.